Thank you, Clara and Steve. It was beautiful. Oh, I can barely talk. How about you all? Wow, beautiful. And that's what pilgrimage is. David talked about the different steps of it. That was the energy of what it feels like. And how wonderful it is when we could look at life as pilgrimage and not just the mundane existence of who's going to get the bread at the grocery store. Those things we have to do. But to have that perspective that our souls are here for a true spiritual reason, and that we're here to grow and to learn and to receive the gifts of others and to share the gifts that we have back with the world. And it's that flow of exchange, the people that you unexpectedly meet on the path of your life, the people that are called together to be in groups like this circle of Anamkara. Of all of the places we could have been, our soul's journeys brought us to the place where our paths crossed, and we get to do life together. I love looking at life as pilgrimage and also as an initiatory process of increasing our understanding of the presence of the divine and of what a spiritual life really means. I did a series years ago in Denton on about the initiatory process, which is very much like the pilgrimage process and like the hero's journey. It's a process of unfoldment. It's growing in consciousness, in possibilities and ideas, but then having to have the experiences where you live them so it really groks and you integrate it into who you are. Because we can all study thousands of metaphysical books, but if it only goes to here, it's not doing anything. It makes life interesting. I'm a reader, have been my whole life, but till you drop it into your heart, that place of caring, and you drop it into your soul as to how do you view life. And it used to be in the ancient times, and I've done a lot of study of this, there were different initiatory processes. In ancient Egypt, it's famous for the initiatory processes. The mystery schools, the life of Jesus is an initiatory process. Our lives are initiatory processes. And I did this series, and Greg Braden came out with a new book that was, I think, The Great Awakening. And in it, he said something that I was like, yes, I totally believe this, which he said in the ancient times, we did our initiatory processes in temples separate from life. We were in monasteries or in ancient temples, and we did them there. But we've evolved to the place now where our lives are our initiatory chambers. Our very lives. And pilgrimage, to recognize that pilgrimage can be going to a sacred place, because sacred places do hold the energy of people who've journeyed there. You can feel it. I'll never forget the time I was at Chartres Cathedral, and I saw somebody do this, and I did it. I took my shoes off, and I walked the labyrinth barefoot. And I could literally feel in that cold stone the warmth of the feet that had walked that path for centuries. So we have sacred places that we can go. And isn't it fun to do that? It's great to go apart from your life into a temple, an initiatory chamber, kind of away from the day-to-day things. But if we don't integrate it into our lives, Cynthia Bourgeau, talks about doing the contemplative life. And people go on her retreats, which are wonderful. I've been on one. And she said the thing that she consistently hears is, oh, I was in such wonderful sacred space, contemplative space. And then I got home and my kids had art projects and my husband was in a bad mood and the dog was sick and everything fell apart. And so it didn't make any difference at all. And she said, no, if you're going back into everyday life expecting it to be a quiet, holy spot, that's not true for almost anybody. Even Mother Teresa, that would not have been true for. Because it's about taking those insights and then figuring out how do you really live them. She said, if you can just take 10 minutes of contemplation before anybody else in the house wakes up, it will help your day. And so to journey on a pilgrimage, to go to a sacred place is wonderful, but it doesn't mean anything again unless you're integrating it into the pilgrimage that is your regular daily life. How you interact, how you view things. I've always said it's not so much what happens to us as how we perceive it. Philippe Cousteau in The Art of Pilgrimage says, the mythic image mythologist Joseph Campbell writes of the idea of sacred place where the walls and laws of the temporal world may dissolve to reveal a wonder apparently as old as the human race. Belief is such a place. Belief, right with you now. It's a holy temple. Belief is a sacred mesa or an archive of sacred knowledge. It inspires hope in the pilgrim's soul, and that encounter transfigures it. Michael Baget says, a pilgrim is not seeking to discover something new, but is seeking to remember what the soul has always known. We in Unity speak about how our higher selves knows the truth of all being. And Claire Namad says, the aim of making a pilgrimage was always the offering of an act of devotion for its own sake, but also that the pilgrim might receive a healing, a blessing, an initiation, or a revealed enlightenment. It's about the consciousness with which you're encountering the world. And I had all of my notes. I've got a whole bunch of notes going through the hero and heroine's journey. But we're not going to do that this morning because I turned on the morning show. CBS morning show has wonderful things. And this morning, a man named Arthur Brooks was interviewed, and he just did a book with Oprah Winfrey on the art and science of finding happiness. The name of the book is Build the Life You Want. Consciously, as an eternal spiritual being, have an earthly experience, but with a connection to that divine reason. And I just thought it was wonderful. If you can, go watch the interview. But the highlights of it was when they researched, they said, what is necessary for happiness? He said, it is definitely not money, power, beauty, or fame. None of those things. That's not the source of happiness. And he said, social media is something that is a lab for earthly goals that will make you miserable. Because people on social media frequently are putting this idealized version of who they are. They'll even do backdrops that say they're in Athens and they're sitting in Sacramento. It's that illusion, and it's what the face, the mask, rather than the real person. And so we find, years ago I read an article that one of the things that's most crippling for so many is that we're comparing our inner selves that are vulnerable and tender with the outer appearance of somebody's stunning success. I went to dinner one night with some of my dear women friends in Texas, and we started talking, and I looked at my friend Kay, and I said, "Kay, you're just amazing the way you've always got it together." And she looked at me, and she said, "What?" And she said, "Pam, you're the one that's always got it together." And I said, "I was sobbing my eyes out last night playing sad Celine Dion songs so I could have a good cry." And we realized that we wanted to take our friendship to a deeper level. And all of us, we went around the circle, and we ended up not admiring each other less, but more. Because we got to where we were saying, not that, "Oh, I'm successful and I have my life together." It's, "Oh, I'm struggling with this, and I just learned that. And I don't know what's going on with this." To be honest, to be authentic, to me, lies at the very heart and soul of true spirituality. They went on, and they said, "Okay, so what does happiness look like? The number one killer of happiness is envy," which is one of the things that I was just talking about that comes through social media. And he says, "Pursue enjoyment." And he said, not pleasure. He said, "Pursuing pleasure tends to lead you to addictions because it's strictly physical." He said, "But see," he and Oprah said, "seek enjoyment." And by enjoyment, he means people and memories. I know when my mother died, one of the things that I realized is there wasn't as much of an estate as I thought perhaps there would be. I did not care one iota because we had taken those resources and done trips together, the memories of which I still carry with me. Nothing can ever take that away. That was true enjoyment. And we can make memories on trips. We can make memories right here in our everyday lives. And so seek enjoyment. Don't let your life just become, "I've got to do this and I got to do that," your checklist of things to do. Always leave some time in your day for something that you enjoy. Number two, seek satisfaction. And they said satisfaction is actually the joy that comes after struggle. "Oh, I did it. I wanted to get to where I could walk for 20 minutes, and I walked for 20 minutes. I did it. I finished my degree. I did it." It can be big things. It can be little things. But gift yourself a recognition when you accomplish something. When you're traveling in the desert and you're journeying across the sands, if there's an oasis, you don't skip it, ever. You don't know where the next one is. So you're coming across the desert and there's the oasis with the sweet water and the palm trees and other interesting people camping there for the night. You can make memories, connect with people. And take the time to go, "Oh, look how far I've come. Now, which direction am I heading out in next?" Our society doesn't gift us with that respite that is very much part of the pilgrimage process, the interiorization, the recognition of what we've learned and what we've given and what we've received. So satisfaction is recognizing how far you've come. And the third piece after enjoyment and satisfaction is meaning. It's when we find the meaning in things that we truly, truly can connect to life as a soul journey, as a pilgrim, as initiatory process. It's the fact that you can look at things and realize there is a synchronicity. And the more you open, the more synchronicities you notice. The world will support you when you move with intention towards something that is a higher view for yourself and for others. It's about your soul purpose. What is it that you uniquely can give to the world that nobody else has quite the same experiences or abilities to give? And figuring out for yourself why things happen sometimes. Sometimes it's a mystery, and it takes years to understand. I know things happen to me in my past. I'm like, why in the world did that happen at the time? And now I can look back from this perspective and go, oh my gosh, if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have gone to Unity Dallas. I wouldn't have gone to Unity Village. I never would have become a Unity minister. Those little turns and choices and finding meaning. I was laid off from my corporate job, and it turned out that was right when the next CEP class was starting at Unity Village. And in 2 weeks, I packed up my entire life, put it in storage at my parents' house, and drove by myself to Kansas City, to Unity Village, and spent a month there studying and just loved it. My severance package gave me the financial resources to do that. What was a stunning thing of getting laid off was the doorway to the whole next unfolding. At that moment, I remember people coming up in tears going, Pam, we can't believe you've been laid off. You're not going to be here anymore. And I remember looking at them and saying, I think I asked for this. Because one of my dearest friends had been diagnosed with brain cancer and given literally weeks to live. And in being present with her, I found myself saying a prayer that whatever is mine to do, I'm absolutely willing. I'm willing. 3 days later, I got laid off. And I'm like, what in the world did I say I was willing to do? But it was part of that soul journey. It's part of the pilgrimage. The hero's journey has all kinds of twists and turns. It's not just one challenge and then you're done. It's multiple challenges. It's finding allies. It's confronting your deepest fears. It's confronting the fact that you can't do things all by yourself. You need the presence of the divine. You need other people to go through life with, to find that enjoyment with. And so I loved that interview this morning. And Oprah said something that I totally agree with and say frequently. You can't control the outer circumstances, but you can control how you feel about it. You can control how you feel about it, how you respond to it. And the more you realize life is initiation and pilgrimage, the more you can get into a place where rather than just reacting, you can respond. You can truly respond from a level of soul. I wrote this to define what pilgrimage is when I led one a number of years ago, and I still like it. Pilgrimage is to faithfully seek the divine with a new willingness, to lovingly encounter the wonder of the numinous mysteries, and to experience it all in a sacred world full of holy blessings, waiting to be discovered, embraced, and embodied. Oprah, when she goes to Africa and works with the girls at her school there, always concludes the first series with a quote from Invictus, that famous poem. She reads them the poem, and the last two lines are the thing to remember about initiation and pilgrimage and soul journey. It ends with the famous lines that I know you're all heard. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Enjoy the journey. Find the sacred. Whether it's something you understand or an absolute mystery, move with intention and devotion and dedication, and at the same time be open to unexpected graces and blessings that will meet you on the way, particularly when life doesn't unfold the way you think it should. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, oh, we open in willingness to recognize that our lives are truly sacred journeys. And we are so blessed from before our first breath all through our lives and beyond that last breath. And how blessed we are to be present in this world. May we remember to find enjoyment in people and memories each day. May we remember to take the time to feel satisfaction and joy as we move through the challenges of life. And may we see meaning from this higher perspective that reminds us we truly are eternal spiritual beings having an earthly experience for a divine reason. We now all willingly and faithfully seek the divine, waiting for us to discover it, to embrace it, and to embody it. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.